Welcome. New Waves of Light presents Soul Awakening and the New Earth Podcast, where we discuss the nature of the soul and the evolutionary shift taking place inside human consciousness, the catalyst for the planetary shift that is birthing a new Earth. I am your host, Sarah Catherine. Last week, we explored our chakras, vibrational healing, and how this all connects to our soul's awakening. In today's podcast, we'll be focusing our discussion on the many groups that are gathering in consciousness in the world now to affect a collective global awakening, often referred to as the shift. Welcome, Michael. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
There are many groups in the world right now that are discussing a global shift in consciousness. What's happening to trigger this new awakening from your perspective, and what is the shift that you see occurring today?
There are really two sources. One is, of course, the stirring of the soul, the call of the soul to express itself through its agent on earth that we call our personality, which I call the universe of self. And then there is the situation in the world. When we look around, we realize that we're not in right relationship with ourselves, with each other, with the ecosystem of Gaia. We're not in right relationship. So that has created a situation which is extremely urgent and life-threatening at the form level.
Yes.
And if life is threatened at the form level, then there is no way that the soul can incarnate because it doesn't have its appropriate form. So the awakening and the shift that's occurring is prompted by these two things. And some people register maybe the call of the soul as the dominant, others more as the whether it's an ecological awareness or just an awareness of Gaia and our need to be in right relationship with her. But it is a shift. And I've been describing the shift as when a person shifts their focus from a life spent on the survival of the separated self to a life that is in service for the good of the whole, for the common good, because then one is part of a living system and serving that system, and that system itself serves us because we're part of that system. Mm-hmm. However, so many people are locked inside the need for survival and the notion of the separated self, and so the other is seen as a threat, not as another aspect of self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you see really the trigger is sort of the crisis that we're seeing in the world, both the personal crisis and the global material planetary yes. crisis?
Because a crisis is simply a very powerful way of bringing things to a point of focus in the now. Mm-hmm. All of these issues, all of these patterns have been present in our psyche for a long time, but they've been swirling. But when they come to a point of crisis, that's when they can be addressed or not. This is the choice point. And the shift is how we choose to respond to these two things. One is the call of the soul, or the call of the one soul of humanity, or the call of the planetary soul, the soul of Gaia. And the other is a call to put right some of the things that we have created through ignorance and through just willful individualism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you see the soul working in the world by unifying through groups? So as each soul starts to awaken, I've noticed a lot of groups have been forming to really take on these challenges. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the soul's work in the world to right these things?
When the soul is dominant, when it has control, it is a unifying force because it recognizes the pre-existing condition of unanimity, of oneness of life. It's just baked in. It's just, this is how things are. And So that is really what's showing up in the world. And when I look at the different groups that are coming together, for instance, we're having our conversation now during the middle of World Unity Week, where hundreds of groups around the world are coming together to create unity. And it's a deep desire because it is a pre-existing state of being. The Ageless Wisdom teaching says that synthesis is, or unanimity, wholeness, oneness is, but unity must be created. So we can't go around just saying, oh, we're all one, we're all whole. We actually have to manifest that. We have to bring that into form. We have to create unity. So this World Unity Week is an attempt to bring all the many facets of the one humanity to a place where we recognize each other as parts of the one. And each person with their own particular gift is one of the many facets of this diamond soul of the one humanity. That's what a lot of people are realizing. And for instance, you can go back. I remember growing up in Bible studies. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, although I embrace other aspects now. I'm both a Buddhist and a Christian, and basically anything that says we're one. and it was a question saying, am I my brother's keeper? Or am I my brother, or am I my sister's keeper? And the answer isn't yes or no. For me, the answer is I am my brother. I am my sister. So when that realization of that shift from the I to the we takes place, and many people are fearful of that. You see some of the extremist organizations now, they're fighting for their survival. That means the maintaining of their own particular version of how they perceive themselves, their identity. Mm-hmm. And anything that threatens that identity, they will fight tooth and nail. And yet, when one moves from I to we, I don't lose my identity. I have to be more of myself. I have to be more of Michael. However, what happens is I grow into an expanded sense of self. Mm-hmm. So when I join we, I don't lose myself. I expand my understanding of who, the greater sense of who I am, which is beyond Michael. Michael's just one aspect. is like the agent of the soul, seeking to create the right conditions which it can express. And it's not just me on my own doing it, but it's creating a field of incarnation for the soul of humanity to be born. And so I hold it that way. There is this great flowering of humanity, this lighted consciousness, this loving consciousness that is the promise of who we are. It's our true nature. And that this seed is being planted, and yet the soil is not really right to receive it at the moment. We have some stony ground. We have some hard ground of hatred. We have all these other conditions in the world that don't allow the seed to germinate, to quicken, to flourish, to flower. And so part of the work is not just meditating and affirming that I am a divine being. It's actually creating the conditions on earth where that can show up and be present. And probably the easiest and most effective ingredient that we can add to the soil of everyday life is loving kindness.
Yes.
Something as simple as that. That shifts, that changes the nature of the soil and makes it more able to give birth to who we truly are. So we have to clean up the physical environment because we've polluted it. We live now on a polluted planet, but we've also polluted the psychic environment through our emotions, through our thoughts. So the psychological climate of our world is filled with these dark clouds of separation, of hatred, and all these things that have to be dispelled And because they have been spelled, they have been named. So to dispel something is to undo this evil spell that we've cast upon ourselves.
I love that you shared that. I want to go back. So I think it's very important that you shared about sort of the unity consciousness, but the unique gifts that each soul has to contribute. And I've always felt that we don't lose an identity because we each have a unique gift, and that's part of our soul's gift. And that's why when we are joined together in groups, there's a special ingredient each soul has to contribute to the whole in order for really all of this to be restored. There is so much, as you said, to restore. Yes.
Well, in the end, the soul of humanity, the unified soul of humanity, cannot incarnate if you and I are not in right relationship with each other, and we in right relationship with everyone else and everything else. That's why when I said that synthesis is, but unity has to be created, we have the task of recreating on Earth the, if you like, the conditions of the soul, or the qualities of the soul, or the characteristics of the soul. It's bringing heaven down to earth and raising earth to heaven, so that the two meet and merge and marry, and something new is being, can be born, both for ourselves, but more importantly, as a collective. And then it's important that we just don't get caught up in the human drama, because we as humans are part of a greater ecosystem, which is the multidimensional body of Gaia. And so I refer to myself as a Gaian, not just as human, as a Gaian incarnated through the human experience, playing out that particular purpose that Gaia holds. And by Gaia, I'm talking about the planetary being. I could have easily said planetary logos, but most people understand Gaia, and by Gaia I really mean the soul of the planet, that which is seeking to be born through us, but it has to also be born through our right relationship with all of life. Otherwise it doesn't have a suitable vehicle through which to incarnate. So it's there's a great birth happening at many different levels inside of each one of us, inside our groups, inside our humanity, but also inside the heart of this planet is a great birth seeking to take place, because everything is evolving. And our planet itself as a living being has a destiny and will unfold the beauty and splendor of its gift to the solar family and so on. And so keeping that in perspective helps me to understand. Otherwise, it can get overwhelming when I look around. And I just spent a few days with my grandkids and my kids, and it's like, wow, what have they inherited from us? And I'm thinking, they've got quite a task. So what can I do and we do in the time that I've got remaining to really redeem some of the aspects that need to be addressed, and to create a, if you like, microclimates of goodness around the world, group by group, family by family, individual by individual, whatever it is that, and when you have enough of these, what I call microclimates of goodness, and a friend of mine calls islands of coherence, and then you start joining together, then you have a new ecosystem being born, an ecosystem that is fueled by loving kindness, that is connected through love. The connective tissue in the ecosystem is love and respect and caring, things like that. So it those words may sound, you know, very flowery, but they're very real. And when each of us lives a life of loving kindness, it changes the nature of our own lives, but also the lives of those around us.
And one of the things that I was so pleased to see over the past year during the pandemic was this coming together, you know, all these people realizing that we can go so much further together and that we are united. And I feel like that's one of the many blessings that actually has come through that crisis, is maybe just a little bit more awareness and understanding that we're in it together, and we're in it together in crises, and we're also in it together in this awakening. And so how does this impact collective consciousness? And is it an example of a collective awakening, these groups that are joining?
Yes, and you named a couple of different reasons that people come together. One is for survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need each other to survive. The other is we need each other because the soul is calling to express itself, and we are the soul. So let's do it. So there are two different calls. At the moment with the pandemic, where a lot of people have not yet understood what's really going on, and they may not have a deep relationship with themselves and with the deeper meaning of life. Therefore, they're in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And therefore, having a community of people around them that is supportive is what's needed. Mm-hmm. And yet, the true call to come together is the call of the soul, because I said earlier, the soul is a unifying force. And what I've noticed, when you talk about the shift or the great shift or the great turning, it's been called different things. We're talking about a process that will probably take not decades or centuries, but probably a couple of millennia at least to mature properly. And one way I could describe it is if you look at the individual life, your life, my life, I'm called to clean up my act, is to look at all the patterns that I have that are getting in the way, and all emotional and belief systems that may be stopping the truth coming through. Often a belief system distorts the real truth because it's a partial expression of that truth, and we believe it's the whole thing. If I look at that and then say, well, the soul is seeking to integrate the individual so it can express. If we look at the whole of humanity at the moment, what, eight approaching probably 9 billion soon, those units, human units, have to come together in a single body. Just as all the aspects of our own being have to come together and be integrated to have a whole person, we're talking about creating a whole humanity. Mm. And when that happens, then the overlighting soul has a vehicle through which to fully incarnate. Mm. So that's what's happening. And we've reached a shift where this is a major turning point, because we are attempting to break free from the gravitational pull of materialism, which has imprisoned the creativity and the imagination and the inspiration of the soul from expressing. And that's why it's said once again in the ageless wisdom teachings that the crisis that is facing us now is a spiritual crisis. It's the crisis that we've been told for the first time we are facing collectively. Mm-hmm. And some books refer to it as the first initiation. It really is. If you go back to the Bible, it says we have to show that we don't just live by bread alone. There are deeper sources of nourishment. And so what's happening at the moment is we're having to realize that we have to turn inwards to the power of the soul to fuel our lives. Just as we're moving away from oil to solar power, that's a physical equivalent of what's needing and wanting to happen at a deeper level. So I look at what's happening now as a part of a much longer process of the full flowering of humanity. And yet, this is one of those pivotal points, those thresholds that we've got to get through. Otherwise, we remain trapped and imprisoned in materialism. And that's the whole thing. It's said that the planet Earth is this experiment to see if a seed of spirit, once planted deep in the dark earth, can find its way back to the light and flower and represent on earth the glory that it is on another dimension. So we're part of this incredible experiment to see how life can liberate and express itself in all conditions. And we're facing one where we've been sometimes unconsciously and unwittingly imprisoned in materialism. And so we're just coming out of this, the age of materialism, into the age of consciousness.
Beautifully consciousness put. That's that. To me, that really sums up the shift. It's the shift from materialism into more of our true spiritual soul consciousness.
Right. And the other thing is that we're moving now into the age of the feminine principle, the divine feminine, which is really important, because the feminine is that which gives birth to something new. You can have the seed. The seed can exist, but unless the seed can enter the womb or enter the soil, nothing's going to happen. And so we're in order for this birth to take place, this great shift, the divine feminine is now becoming a dominant, not dominating or domineering, but a dominant or a necessary prime presence in order to give birth to something. This is bringing the divine feminine, the divine masculine into right relationship inside of ourselves. And so for me, when those two aspects inside of ourselves or inside of our group are in right relationship, the communion or the consummation of the communion between the divine feminine and the divine masculine gives birth to something that we call consciousness. Some people call it Christ consciousness. Other people call it enlightenment, the lighted heart. It goes by different names, but it really represents the full flowering of our human potential. And at the moment, we're not the full flower. There are a few buds around. Some have got a few petals opened and some don't. And therefore they're looking around. Well, you say I'm a bud, I'm a flower, I don't see anything. I'm just this little scrawny plant. Who am I? Because you can't look at the outside and see who you are. You have to know on the inside, and then you have to say, okay, how do I create the conditions where the truth of who we are can show up on the outside? So it's difficult, particularly when people are in stress and people are in collective trauma. And that's the other big thing that's been named recently more collectively, is the whole notion of we are in a collective trauma.
Yes.
And what happens when a body is filled with these shock waves? It cannot hear the song of the soul. And so until we've healed the trauma, we can't hear the song and respond to the call of the soul. Therefore, it is spiritual work to work on trauma. But if you only work on trauma and get and then just dive into therapy without understanding why you're doing it, you're creating wholeness so that something new can be born through this healthy field, this whole field. I believe that we've suffered so much trauma in the last, several thousand years that collectively we cannot hear the song of the one soul until we have healed some of that trauma and have built the bridges between peoples and grown the loving connective tissue that is our one human family. It's a huge task, because we're in a fractured body and we've broken ourselves apart royally. And so it's going to take a royal effort, which is what the soul is, the sovereignty of the soul. It requires a royal effort of the soul to pull it together. And that's why we're at this time of crisis.
Well, I like the metaphor of that we're also asleep. And I put a lot of faith and hope in what happens when a collective awakens, and how much healing can then take place, the momentum of healing that can take place just upon awakening, and awakening alongside our brothers and sisters and recognizing our unique oneness.
That's a really good point. for me, nothing happens until there is an act of will, a choice. So waking up, you can't choose something unless if you're asleep. So first of all, wake up, show up, be present.
Yes.
Okay, now let's choose.
Yeah.
What do we choose?
What do we choose?
Well, yeah, what do we choose? We choose to make this place a heaven on earth. Okay, so what does that look like? What have we got to do differently, each of us, collectively? Mm-hmm. But some of these patterns are so ingrained, particularly the negative aspect of the divine masculine, that has, with its domineering and dominating force, that's caused a lot of hurt and distortion, and that has to be put right.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with these patterns, they fight to the death because they honestly believe that they are it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to deal with our own demons, and it's the dance between the shadow and the angel that is taking place inside each one of us. Mm-hmm. But that's what's taking place inside of our one human family. We're dancing with our demons. We're dancing with our shadow. And yet the way that we find resolution is when the soul can come through sufficiently to embrace and to reintegrate all the disparate elements and to transform the darkness of the shadow and the pain into the joy of wisdom. And it's a long haul. When you look around now, there are lots of joyful people, but there are so many people suffering and who are out of touch with themselves and each other, and they cling onto these life rafts. And some of these life rafts are extremist views, extremist groups, but they offer a life raft.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll cling onto it because it's survival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think a number of us are realizing that one of the things that we have to do collectively is to surrender, is to let go.
Mm-hmm.
We used to say, let go, let God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we're saying, let go, allow the soul to flow.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts. This has been a really wonderful conversation. I appreciate you so much. So thank you, Michael.